It's good to see everyone here this morning. It's a beautiful day, and it's a good day to come together and study the Word of God. I hope that it's not so pretty that people have found other things to do. As I look out over the audience, we have some holes in the audience this morning, but hopefully they're somewhere in service to the Lord, and I am so glad and thankful that you have chosen to come and be with us this morning and study the Scriptures with us and worship and sing praises to the Lord. And hopefully, when we leave this building this morning, we will be stronger, better equipped to face the world. This morning, we're going to ask and try to answer this question. Does it matter how we as Christians dress? Now, there are a lot of ways that I could go with that question. A lot of different things that I could probably deal with. Well, we could talk about how we should dress
when we come to worship God.
And I feel very strongly, friend, that when we come to worship God, that we certainly must dress in a way that shows and demonstrates respect for Him. We should come and demonstrate our concern and our care, and we should come and demonstrate our respect and our honor for God. And we should also dress in such a way that demonstrates our love for each other. Now, this lesson, however, this morning, we're going to talk more along the lines of that which is modest. You know, it hasn't been that warm here recently, but it's supposed to start warming up, and it will start warming up. And so we're going to ask this question and try to answer it from the perspective of society and try to deal with how we should dress when we go out. How should we dress every day? How should we dress? And so we're going to think about these things, and I want to make a gentle appeal to you first. I want you to think about these things with me. I want you to just, whatever you think right now, I just want you to put that on hold, and I want you to just listen carefully to the things that we have to say and consider what the Scriptures teach about dress. And I want us to look at ourselves, and I want us to ask ourselves honestly this question: could I be wrong about the way that I've always dressed? Could I be wrong about that? I want us to think about what the Bible teaches. And understand, we do have a standard. Our standard is not the world. Our standard is not our parents. Our standard is not the preacher. It's not what I say that makes it right or wrong. It's not what the elders say that makes it right or wrong. It's not what I've always thought or what I've always done that makes it right or wrong. What makes it right or wrong is the Scripture. What do the Scriptures teach? We are told to test all things, hold fast to what is good, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Prove all things. And that is the exhortation that we have as Christians over and over again. We are to make sure that we are doing what is right. And friend, let me just say this right at the outset. The Christian should not have the attitude to see, I'm going to see how close to the line I can get. That shouldn't be the Christian attitude. We should make it sure. We should make positively certain that what we're doing is right, and the clothes that we wear are modest and appropriate for Christians. We shouldn't try to see how close to the line that we can get. I want us to think about that. And I also want to suggest to you, friend, that the Bible does set some guidelines. And we may think, well, this is such a relative subject. I mean, what does the Bible say that your dress has to be a certain way? Well, we're told we're to dress in modest apparel. But what does that mean? Is there a standard in the Scriptures what modesty is? What is appropriate and what is not? Well, let us suggest this up front, that the Bible does set the guidelines, and that to violate the standard, to violate these guidelines, is to act outside of God's will. We must act and we must dress in such a way that is appropriate in accordance with God's Word. Now, let's ask this question. Do you desire to dress in harmony with God's Word? Is that your desire this morning? The Bible, if it sets those guidelines, would you be willing to conform to those guidelines? Are you willing? If so, of course, and if your answer to that question is yes, then you're going to do what the Lord said. You're going to appreciate even the lesson this morning. You're going to listen, you're going to appreciate it, and you're going to follow it. But if not, if you do not desire to dress in harmony with the Scriptures, then you'll be rejecting the Lord. Not me. If I'm teaching what the Bible says, it's not me that you're rejecting, it's the Lord that you're rejecting. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, the words He speaks will judge us in the last day. So we need to listen to what the Lord says. I want to begin with an illustration. Here you have a nice kitchen scene, and you have this bathrobe. Now, these are just mannequins, by the way. I want to emphasize this. These are mannequins and pictures taken from mannequins. On this one, here you have a bathrobe. The doorbell rings, and somebody says, and this person says in this bathrobe, could someone please get this? I'm not dressed. Someone's at the door. Could someone answer it? I'm not dressed. And there's another lady in the house, and she comes up and she says, I'm dressed. I'll get it. Oh, but wait a minute. There's another lady in the house, and she says, oh, it's just my friends. I tell you what, I'm going to Wild River Country. I'm going out in public like this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I think we can see that. And I'm glad there's nobody there. Because it would be immodest to put a picture of somebody up on that, screen dressed like that. I think everyone here would agree with that. I'm dressed, I'll get it. Why do people dress immodestly? Why? Could be that they're ignorant and untaught. And they simply need to be taught. They're honest, they're good people, they just need to be taught. And if that's the case, well, certainly then this lesson will be helpful to them. Some, however, they just want to fit in with society. They want to dress like everybody else does. That's what's most important to them. They want to fit in with the crowd. Or they want to be bold and turn heads. They want to say to the world, hey, look at my figure. They want to say to someone, hey, look at me. Or they really don't know how bad they look. And we'll see later on in the lesson a passage from the book of Proverbs which talks about a woman who lacks discretion in what she really does look like in the sight of God. And then this point of being careless. People, some just don't stop to think about what they're doing. But we need to stop and think about how we appear in public. How do we go out and portray ourselves? By the way, let me ask this question. Do our clothes say anything at all about us? Absolutely they do. They say something about us. And you know, let me say this up front as well. We can dress immodestly, not just by not having enough clothes on, but having them too tight, or even being gaudy in appearance, putting on a bunch of diamonds and jewels and saying to everybody, look at me. Just any kind of dress that would say, hey, look at me, is dressing immodestly. If you're dressing in all black and you've got all this stuff on, that you know, this gothic look, you're saying, hey, look at me. You know, having your hair up and you know, mohawk and everything, and it's all different colors, and you've got all this stuff, these studs on your ears and your face and your cheek and everywhere else, and tattoos all over your body. You're saying, hey, look at me. I'm weird. I'm different from everybody else. So, we're not just talking about skimpy dress, but that will be the focus of the lesson. Why do people dress immodestly? Well, they don't stop and think about divine principles. They don't stop and think about how the world has influenced them and the way that they think and the way that they dress instead of allowing God to be their guiding influence. And the truth of the matter is, even amongst our brethren, we tend to get looser and looser with our standards. And once you lower the bar and you start lowering the bar, where do you stop lowering the bar? That's a concern. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Paul said in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Now, this idea of modest apparel, Paul defines for us what he means by that. And I understand, friend, that in the first century, the emphasis of this passage, as well as the passage that was read earlier in 1 Peter chapter 3, the emphasis has to do with the gaudy style, the, hey, look at me, the overdress. Now, they did have problems in the first century with underdressing and women dressing like prostitutes. They did. But I tell you right now, for the most part, they didn't go walking around town looking like that. And every Christian understood that those things were wrong and they shouldn't be doing those kinds of things. It wasn't like it is today. Let me tell you something. If a woman were to walk down the street in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago with some of the clothing that's out there today, she wouldn't have made it out half a block. She'd have been stoned to death. And that's the way it was. So that wasn't as big a problem back then as what we have today, although it was a problem. But modest apparel means modest apparel. And so we need to think about it. Which one of these two sets of clothing is modest? Which one of these two sets, you know, can be described as expressing propriety and moderation, which is proper for women professing godliness with good works? Which one? Well, let's think about some of these terms that the Apostle Paul gives us, because that's very important. First of all, this term modest, it means respectable, honorable, Art and Gingrich, well-arranged, seemly, Thayer, orderly, well-arranged, decent, Vine's Expository Dictionary. Trench says this, the well-ordering is not of dress and demeanor only, but the inner life's uttering indeed and expressing itself in the outward conversation. In other words, again, what you wear indicates something about what you think. It indicates something about who you are. Your character is being manifested outwardly. That's what Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3. The inward beauty needs to be expressed outwardly. And so the Christian's dress should demonstrate a godly character. The People's New Testament commentary defines modesty as in simple attire which doesn't attract attention. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, an appearance that is simple, moderate, judicious, and free from ostentation. Christians must be careful about letting a pagan culture set their fashions. And let me tell you something, friend. Our pagan culture has set the fashion in America. And we need to be careful about that. In summation regarding the word modest, I think we can use these terms, reserved, humble, respectful, decent, and orderly. When you think about being reserved, it's not brash. It's not something that says, hey, look at me. Humble, that inner spirit of humility of the Christian is coming out. We don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to cause anyone to stumble. We are walking humbly before our God and before those who are around us. Respectable. We respect other people's problems and perhaps temptations. We are respectful, though, most and foremost to God and His will. And we're decent. We do not want anyone to have illicit sexual thoughts. We are decent. We dress in such a way that is and can be classified as decent, orderly. It's well arranged. It's not that we're, you know, neat. That'd be the best way, I guess, another way to put that. Neat, orderly, neat. I mean, it's not sloppy, it's not, I don't care. It demonstrates an orderly fashion of mind. A person who is sober in mind. He has a good head on his shoulders and he dresses demonstrating that. Well, there's another word listed in our text. Propriety in the New King James. The King James, shamefacedness. The American Standard, shamefastness. And the word means a sense of shame or honor, modesty, bashfulness, reverence, regard for others, respect. A sense of shame from Vine and Thayer. Jeremiah 6 and verses 15 and chapter 8 and verse 12 asked the question, have we lost the ability to blush? Talking about the women and the way that they were parading themselves around. And they had lost their ability to blush. Have we? Those who dress or don't dress in such a way that the imagination has little else, if anything, to imagine, what would it take to get them to blush?
I mean, if a woman is willing to go out into public, or a man for that matter, and just nothing on, basically, what does that say about their shamefacedness? They're not. They don't care what other people think. They're not ashamed of their nakedness. What would it take to make them blush? I don't know. They may not be able to at all. Sobriety and moderation, another word that's used in this text in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Soundness of mind, sound judgment, practically expresses the meaning. It is the habitual inner self-government which is constant reign over all the passions and desires which would hinder the temptation to these from arising. Vines, as Pastor Dishner. So it's a sound mind, a person who thinks about the consequences of his actions. Soundness of mind, strong. Sanity, self-control. A person who reasons this out and thinks about what the consequences are. Another term here in our text, godliness, denotes fear and reverence for God. It denotes piety, profession of the fear of God. Do we dress that way? Do we dress in such a way that denotes fear, reverence for God? Here's another term, although it's not directly in our text, but it is a word that is used often in the Scriptures, nakedness. Thayer defines this word, first of all, by saying it is unclad, that is, without clothing. A person to be naked, it can be naked if he has absolutely not a stitch of clothing on. But the Bible doesn't only use the term naked in reference to that. It also uses the word nakedness in reference to those who are ill-clad or clad in an undergarment only. Like Peter when he was fishing in the boat and they see Jesus walking along the seashore. And they realize it's Jesus and Peter is embarrassed. Not because he doesn't have a stitch of clothing on, but because he is stripped down to his underclothes and he's embarrassed about it. To be badly clad or not fully clothed. Lightly clad, little in Scott. In fact, we can see this in Genesis chapter 3. If you have your Old Testaments with you, turn with me back to Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis chapter 3, let's begin reading in verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, that naked means what? They didn't have a stitch of clothing on, did they? They were naked, naked. And the eyes of both of them were open and they felt ashamed in that state. So what did they do? They made for themselves coverings. So in doing that, they sewed these fig leaves together. And the reality is, though, look down to verses 10 and 11. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now there, they've got the fig leaves on, they've got the apron on, but what are they? According to even Adam himself, still naked. That was Adam's view of it. I was naked and I hid myself. And then he goes on and he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree. And there the blame game starts. But then look down to verse 21. It says, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading verse 22. Verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. The Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So what they had made for themselves was not appropriate. It was not sufficient. God made something else. By the way, the idea of them, of God making tunics of skin and clothing them indicates a sacrifice was made because of their sin. There was the death of an animal. You had to have the death of the animal to get the skins from the animals to make the clothing. So there was death involved in this. But God made for them these tunics. This word tunic is an interesting term. The ISBE, International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, on dress says, chiton, that is the Hebrew word here, resembled the Roman tunic corresponding most nearly to our long skirt, reaching below the knee always, and in case it was designed for dress occasions, reaching almost to the ground. The chiton of the peasantry was shorter, like modern chemise of Syrian fellow, which is to the knee. The tunic throughout the Old Testament was a garment that went from the shoulder to the knee at least. And it was the outer covering, or the covering that would cover the body. A tunic generally with sleeves coming down to the knees, rarely to the ankles, according to Brown, Driver, and Briggs. The tunic was a shirt which was worn next to the skin. It was made of leather, hair, cloth, wool, linen, or in modern times usually of cotton. Custom of Bible Lands. Fred H. Wright, Manners and Customs of Bible Lands, on page 91, says the simplest form of it was without sleeves and reached to the knees or sometimes to the ankles. Women as well as men wore it, although there was no doubt a difference in style and pattern in what was worn by the two. So there was a difference between the two, but the length and the covering was the same. It's interesting. There are other passages that deal with this. In Exodus 28 and verse 42, and you shall make for them, that is the priest, you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. In Isaiah 47, verses 2 and 3, remove your veil, take off the skirt, uncover the thigh, pass through the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered, yes, your shame shall be seen. So to uncover the thigh is to expose your nakedness. You know, we need to think about some things. And as we examine some of these biblical principles, I want us to think about these things objectively. Now, I had to cover up. There's a picture of, well, actually, that's Jessica Simpson playing Daisy Duke in this recent popular movie, The Dukes of Hazzard. And, of course, Daisy Duke back in the 80s in the Dukes of Hazzard program. I don't even know who remember who played that. Many of you probably do, but anyway, she made that those short shorts really fashionable. In fact, I was listening to the radio driving in to work this morning. I was flipping through the channels and came across 103.7 The Buzz. That's a sports talk program, by the way, in the mornings. But they weren't talking about sports that morning. They were talking about the Electric Cowboy. And they had the promoter of the Electric Cowboy there as a guest on the program. And that night, that was last Wednesday night, as a matter of fact, they were having their Daisy Duke contest. And he said, the shorter the better. How pathetic. But we need to stop and think about how our dress affects others. Our dress does say something about us. Proverbs 7 and verse 10, we read there, the attire of a harlot. There is such a thing as the attire of a harlot. And the way that many dress today, we're dressing in the attire of a harlot, whether we are or not. Our dress can create sexual temptation, causing others to sin. And Jesus warns us about that, Matthew 5:28. Proverbs 6 and verse 25, James 1:14, we're warned about temptation. Matthew 18:6-7, what about the fellow who causes a person to sin? Jesus has some very harsh remarks about that individual. You know, David saw Bathsheba and lusted, and it led to sin, led to adultery, then led to murder, then led to a lie and a cover-up. We need to think about how we dress. And let me also stress this, when young ladies, women, you may not truly understand this, but please listen carefully to what I'm fixing to say. A man does not think like you think. Surprise, surprise. A man does not think like you think. And I want to say to you, and study science backs this up, men are visually stimulated individuals. Men are visually stimulated. Think about that. God knows what He's doing when He makes these restrictions and gives these laws. God knows what He's doing. God knows the danger of temptation. We should too. We need to think about that, how our dress affects other people. It sets a poor example besides all of that,
which could put others in danger, leading them to dress immodestly, which would then cause more people to lust, which would cause more destruction. And, you know, we just need to stop and think about how our dress affects others. Bring shame on Christ and His children. How we dress in public says something about us. And if people who see us know that we are those who profess to be members of the body of Christ, what does that say about the church? And certainly it could discourage other Christians. Mislead weak Christians, causing them to commit sin. And ultimately, you lose your soul because of your failure to recognize what the Lord says and the temptations that you cause. It's dangerous. And it's serious, friend. We need to realize that. Now let's talk a little bit more about the idea of being immodest and some ways that you can dress immodestly. You can dress too modestly by wearing a skirt or a pair of shorts that are too short, that reveal the thighs. You can become immodest by wearing something that is too low off the shoulders, showing the shoulders, the chest, and the back. You can be immodest by wearing something that people can see through. You can be immodest by wearing something that's too tight, you know, like a sausage wrapper. I cooked some sausage yesterday morning. Jeff Asher spent the night with us Friday night. And I got up early Saturday morning and I fixed some sausage and bacon and eggs and some biscuits and gravy. And I was cutting that sausage wrapper, you know, that thing just so tight. That's the way a lot of folks wear their clothes. More suggestive and appealing to men because people can tell every curve. Careless body positioning and movements. It may not be just the way that we dress, perhaps, but the way that we move, certainly. But how about the way that our clothes hang on us when we move a certain way? Now, what about this? Is it okay when participating in sporting events to wear shorts that are way, way, way too short? Is it okay when we are participating in a school function to dress immodestly? Is it okay when we are at the swimming pool or at the beach? Does that make it okay to dress immodestly? When is it appropriate to dress immodestly in public? Short dresses and mini skirts, split dresses, backless dresses, sundresses, low-cut blouses and dresses revealing cleavage, swimsuits, tight form-fitting clothing, short sleeves, or short shorts, short shorts revealing the thighs, jogging shorts, see-through styles, majorette uniforms, cheerleading outfits, yes, majorette uniforms and cheerleading outfits. Now, you know what? A few years ago, I noticed several schools now, public schools, for their majorettes and for others, they've started putting them in these long pants and they've started making some clothing that's modest, at least halfway modest. But what about most of the majorette uniforms and cheerleading outfits that you see? Do they fit within the standard that God has set? Do they adequately clothe the individual? Can I stand, walk, sit, kneel, bend over, etc. in this clothing without being naked according to biblical standards? Does my clothing emphasize certain body parts or areas that would tend to provoke lust in others? Does my clothing stir admiration and respect for me
Or does it prompt opinions otherwise? Well, that's an important question. That's an important one. What does this cause others to think about me? Since clothing can indicate character, would my clothing suggest an abundance or lack of upright character? That's an important question. What kind of influence will my clothing have on those who are not Christians? What kind of influence will my clothing have on those who are Christians? And would I wear this if Jesus was in my personal physical presence? If Jesus was going to the mall with me, would I dress like this? We need to think about some of those things, don't we? And as far as parents are concerned, you know, when you have teenage children, daughters especially, we need to be very conscious as to how we dress them. We need to begin early and do not allow immodesty at all. You know, there are some who they dress their daughters when they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old immodestly. Shorts, real short skirts, and short blouse, cut-off blouses that, you know, show their entire midsection. And they think, well, that's okay. And then when they get to be 12 or 13 and they're wanting to fit in with their friends, then all of a sudden, you're going to have a problem as a parent trying to correct that and pull back on the reins. And by the way, I do realize how difficult it is to buy modest clothing for young girls, especially. I realize that. I've been to Walmart. I've been to JCPenney's. I've been to Sears. And I know what kind of clothing they have hanging on their racks. I've seen them. So I can associate with that. But you can find modest clothing. Take the lead in teaching children about modesty. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Don't let their friends teach them. Don't let the television teach them. Don't let Jessica Simpson teach them. Or J-Lo. Or some of these others. Don't let them teach them. Let's allow God to teach us. We need to teach children by word of mouth in our homes and teach them by example. Children can identify inconsistency quickly and easily. So in other words, you tell them, but then also demonstrate it. You dress modestly yourself. Be consistent in standards and application of standards. Be consistent. Mothers, teach your sons and your daughters what God teaches, and do not undermine godly husbands and fathers as they properly lead. Because again, you know what? As far as a daughter is concerned, the father and the husband knows more than anybody how other men are going to respond to that kind of dress. Listen to them. They understand it. What about the moral impact of immodesty? The disregard of God by disregarding His Word. That's the chief thing, primary thing. People reject what God says. Defile and sear your conscience. You can engage in any sinful practice to the point where you become so seared in conscience that it doesn't hurt your conscience anymore. At first it does. At first you feel naked when you go out the door dressed like that. But then after you do it long enough, guess what? It just doesn't bother you anymore. You lose your sense of shame, as the women in Jeremiah 6:15 and chapter 8 and verse 12. You conform to the world. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 says, be not conformed to the world. But the reality is, too many Christians today, by the way, are conformed to the world in too many areas of their life. We'll likely move to more immodesty. And we'll likely move to other forms of worldliness. You won't stop addressing immodesty. You'll pick up something else. Drinking, smoking, cursing, and who knows where all else you'll go. We'll resent questions and teaching on the subject. How long has it been since you've heard a lesson on modesty? How long has it been since you've heard a preacher preach on this subject, wherever you're from? How long has it been?
Do we resent the questions and teaching on dressing modestly or immodestly? That ought to tell us something. Let me emphasize this. A Christian should not be trying to get as close to the line of worldliness as possible. The Christian is trying to do what? Please God. And he's trying to walk in such a way that he appears to be godly. And his light will shine. Not the other way around. Christians do not see how close they can get to doing something wrong. So, in conclusion, by the way, this picture of this little girl, you can tell that this girl is a Muslim. But my emphasis is not so much on the little girl. Their dress codes are very, very, very strict. And I do not purport that we follow their dress code. That's not what I'm saying. But even just look at their doll. Look at the little doll the girl's holding. Think about the little doll. Have you been to Walmart lately and looked at the Barbies at Walmart? Look at that little doll. You can't say that's immodest, can you? There's nothing wrong with covering up. And I'm not saying that we should dress like Muslims. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we should dress modestly. Our part should be covered. And we should not dress in such a way that a man or another woman, for that matter, or anyone else, we should not dress in such a way that there is little left to the imagination. We should dress modestly, reserved, decent, and respectable. And our society is doing its up level best. It's very best to lead people away from that which is right and godly. Exhibit shamefastness. By the way, that American Standard Version, shamefastness, that is really the idea of that word. Shamefastness, something that you hold on to because it is something that can be lost. The idea is you hold on to that. And show good judgment, common sense. Do I demonstrate common sense by the clothes that I wear? Show godliness. Demonstrate that I am devoted to God. Respect others, opposite sex. Could lust. And cover our nakedness. Cover from the shoulder to the knee. That's the biblical pattern. What we find in the Scripture. I remember many years ago, it's been probably 20 years ago, there was a debate in Pine Bluff. It wasn't 20 years, maybe 15. There was a debate in Pine Bluff, and during the debate, there was a visiting preacher that was there on Wednesday night, and he preached a lesson, what we could learn. And the debate was with some Pentecostals. And many Pentecostals teach error on various subjects. But, there was one point that he made that stuck in my mind. You look at how Pentecostals dress and what they say. I appreciate that. I appreciate their intent. I'm not saying you have to dress exactly like that. I'm not saying that women have to wear dresses, by the way. You know what? I don't know where the Bible ever says that man has to wear a pair of pants and a woman has to wear a dress. I don't know where that passage is. There's no such passage that I know of. But you must dress modestly. Whatever fits that definition is fine. But I appreciate the appeal and the approach. Let's dress in such a way that demonstrates we are loyal to our God. I appreciate that. We need to cover our nakedness. You know, the Proverb writer says in Proverbs 11, verse 22, as a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. We need to stop sometimes and think. And I know we're surrounded. We're inundated with immorality. We're inundated with immodesty. It's all around us. But we need to remember what our standard is. It's the Word of God. We're professing to be Christians, so let's live like it. Let's act like it. Let's dress like it. Let's serve the Lord in all that we do. Again, a gentle appeal. Stop and think about the things that we've talked about this morning. Keep them in your mind and study them out. And if you find those things to be in accordance with the Word of God, apply them. Practice them. The Word of God must be followed if we're going to serve the Lord. We can't serve our own standard. We can't do what we want to do and please God.
We must please the Lord, serve Him in accordance with His will. And hopefully our will correspond with that. If you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, my plea to you is that you will not leave this building this morning without doing just that. If you've never been buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, why not now? Why not obey the Lord? Submit to Him and begin your walk with Him and then live and glorify Him in the way that you live your life. And help draw others to the Lord. If you're here this morning, you're living an ungodly life as a Christian, make that right. Repent of your sins, confess your sins, God will forgive you. If you're here and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing the song? It's selected.